Again, thank you, Dr. Peter and Ruth Doan, for the wonderful offer. I've never been in a place, number one, more beautiful, and number two, more quiet. And sitting there the last night, it was very windy, and of course it's very dry, so we didn't want to have a fire because, you know, whenever you have a fire, sparks always fly, you know. But the last night it was very calm. And just about when the sun is completely gone, we found out the loons, the loons come and they call each other. And what a haunting sound that is. But first I thought it was a coyote. I'm just a guy from New Jersey, so I don't know. But we found out they were loons. And it was haunting sitting there on this still lake, no noise. And then all of a sudden you hear this loon noise. I'm not going to try to imitate it, but anyway, thank you. It was a great, no, I'll pass. All right. We are continuing in our study of the book of Acts, which is a wonderful, wonderful book. And the book of Acts now is beginning to pick up speed. We saw from the beginning that the Lord ascends back to heaven after his 40-day post-resurrection ministry. We see, of course, we saw the Holy Spirit come. We saw in Acts chapter 2 the church is birthed on the day of Pentecost. And we see that the church is made up of only Jewish believers. The church begins to grow. Persecution comes. Stephen is martyred, Saul is saved, Samaritans and Gentiles receive the gospel, and now they become part of the church or the body of Christ. Meanwhile, some of the believers who were scattered because of the persecution, they were still going everywhere preaching the gospel. But to the Jews and the Hellenists only. Remember, Hellenists, the King James uses the word Grecians. Okay? These were Jewish people, but they were Greek in culture. Okay? So they worshiped like Jews, but they lived like Greeks. And Satan had scattered the church because of the persecution, but little revival fires We're starting everywhere. And when revival breaks out, friends, God's people become bold witnesses. That's what we're praying for. And sinners get saved. That's what happens. You know, God's people get right. And they start doing what they always should have been doing. And one of those things is being a bold witness. And that's our theme for the year. And when revival breaks out, sinners get saved. Now, we're now going to begin our focus on the church in Antioch. Now, Antioch, at the time, was in ancient Syria. But today, Antioch is modern-day Turkey. Antioch is about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. And at the time of this writing, it had a population of about 200,000 people. And it was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And there was a vibrant church there. Vibrant church. Now, even though I'm from New Jersey, I often take a lot of heat being from Jersey. And no one in New Jersey says Jersey. Only people who make fun of people from New Jersey say, "Oh, you're from Jersey?" I've never met a person that says Jersey. Brooklyn people say Jersey. That's how they talk. They also say Boyga and Boyd and Turdy Turd for 33. So that's how they talk. So I live on Turdy Turd Street, and I just got a Boyga. So, but that's people from Brooklyn. Where was I going with this? Oh, I'm from New Jersey, and being from New Jersey, believe it or not, we are from a very rural area of New Jersey. It's no longer rural, but it was when we were growing up. And then from New Jersey, we moved to New York to pastor a church there. And of course, everybody says, oh, New York, you must be from the city. No, upstate. New York is much bigger than just the city. And we were pastoring in a very farm community that used to be, until Vidalia, Georgia took over, used to be the onion growing capital of the whole entire world. Pine Island, New York. And if you go to Market Basket, you'll get onions from Gaida Farms, and the address is Goshen, New York, but all the farms are in Pine Island. So and then we moved to New Hampshire. So I don't consider myself a city person, but I'm so thankful for people who minister in urban areas. A real good friend, Matt Recker, who pastors in New York City. And, of course, Craig Hartman and Jim Bickle and a lot of people I know from the city. And thankful for that. And here was a church, you know, in the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And I'm sure it was a large church. It was definitely a vibrant church, as we're going to see today. And the church in Antioch was to become the mother church of one of the greatest missionary endeavors of all time. Now keep a mark there in Acts 11, but just turn back to Acts 8, verse 4. Because the narrative that we're going to look up in Acts 11, 19 picks up where Acts 8, 4 leaves off. Acts 8, 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Where was the church at the time? Where was the church only location at the time of Stephen's stoning? Jerusalem. And persecution came. And guess what? One of the places that they went was Antioch. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, which is where we're going to start, notice what it says. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. We just read. Here's where that narrative picks up. Okay? So, if you are following along in the notes, which I believe are on the back of the bulletin, and I don't know if there's any left back there if you don't have them, but notice the first point, the wonder of the ministry. The wonder of ministry, W-O-N-D-E-R. And notice the wonder of preaching. And look at verse 19, they preach the word. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now think about that. What got them in trouble back in Jerusalem? Preaching. So persecution scatters them, and guess what? They picked up right where they left off, just in a different location, preaching the word. They preached the word, and that's what people need to hear, the word of God. We have an opportunity to minister to a lot of people through this church, and I'm thankful for all of the ministries, and one of our ministries is RU. And Friday night during RU, Bill and I were dealing with a couple of the men there, and a lot of people that come and we minister to are confused, right? Because they hear, like Richard, they hear Catholic doctrine. They hear this doctrine. They hear that doctrine. They hear this other doctrine. Then they hear what this guy says or this girl says and this one says. And Bill and I kept telling them, you need to listen to what the Bible says. The Bible. Not even what I say. What I say is not important. You know, my words are my words. They're not important. But God's word. And they preached the word. And you and I, you know what we need to preach? The word. Because the word is truth. And that's what people need, the truth. So they preached the word. But at this time, notice what it says, they were only preaching to the Jews. Now Cornelius got saved, but that news obviously hadn't reached them yet, and we'll see here at, by the end of our text when Barnabas comes, things change, okay? But they're preaching to the Jews only. And notice in verse 20 that not only did they preach the word, but they preached the Lord Jesus. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Who's the topic of the word? The Lord Jesus. You've probably heard the expression, the scarlet thread that runs through all of the Bible. And I love that passage in Luke on the road to Emmaus. I had an opportunity a few years ago with my family to go to Israel. And I was just so blessed when I was able to literally be where some of my favorite biblical accounts are. And one of my favorite biblical accounts is the road to Emmaus. You know, where Jesus is talking to the two disciples there on the road to Emmaus. And he's kind of like, hey, what's going on? Well, what do you mean, what's going on? Haven't you heard? Heard what? Of course, you know the story. And what does it say? From Moses to all the prophets, he told them things concerning himself. And to be on that exact road to Emmaus, it was just a blessing. Anyway, that's a little rabbit trail. But seriously, they preached the Lord Jesus. Friends, that is who people need to hear about. They don't need to hear about Pastor Dan, Pastor Andrew, Pastor Nate. They don't need to hear about you. They don't need to hear about Hill Village Bible Church. They need to hear the Word of God, and they need to hear about the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that at the Hill Village Bible Church, they do hear the Word of God, and they do hear about the Lord Jesus. But remember that. Because a lot of times when you ask somebody their testimony is about their church. Pastor Andrew was preaching to us this morning about, you know, a Christian, and a lot of people will say they're Christian. So people say they're Christians, and I say, tell me your testimony. I grew up all my life in such and such a church. But a real Christian will say, oh, the Lord Jesus saved me. Maybe you know the date, maybe you don't, but, you know, they talk about the Lord Jesus, you know. And you might have been saved in a church, and it's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't mention your church, but when someone asks your testimony, you know. And these folks, the wonder, think about that, the wonder of ministry. You and I get to preach and share and teach the Word of God and tell people about the Lord Jesus. It's not just us three pastors. It's all of us. You got a Bible? Share it. You got a tract? Share it. Share about the Lord Jesus. And Grecians here, again, they're Hellenists. Even though it says they're Grecians, they're Jewish people, but remember, they're Greek in culture. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, why were deacons needed? Because the Hebrew widows and the Grecian widows had a little bit of disagreement because the Grecians thought that they were being neglected. And again, they're Jewish, but they're Greek in culture. So the gospel here in Antioch, the church is at this time still ministering to Jewish people. And notice the wonder of God's power, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The wonder of God's power. Friends, your three pastors have been praying for just this, a great number to believe next week. A great number. And we're asking God to save a great number of people. And he can, because he's powerful. And if we share his word and we point people to the Lord Jesus, God's power will be here if we're prayed up and we're ready. And I'm telling you, friends, we need to pray. We need to pray hard. We got a whole week yet. We need to pray. We need to be praying. God's power. Without God's power, our preaching is powerless. What does it say in Romans 1:16 about Paul not being ashamed of the power of the gospel? Because it's able to bring salvation to the Jews and to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And we need that power to be evident in our preaching. Otherwise, it's just words. It's just words. And words just fall. And nothing happens. So there's a wonder of ministry. Think about that, friends. We are all in the ministry. These are people who were scattered because of the persecution. And go back in your mind in Acts chapter 8, when everybody left because of the persecution, who stayed in Jerusalem? The apostles. So these are regular Christian folk like us, going out, sharing God's word, sharing about the Lord Jesus, and seeing God's power. Amen. There's a wonder of the ministry. Notice the witness of the ministry. Point two, the witness of the ministry. And the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. So somehow, some way, news gets back to Jerusalem that, hey, something really big is going on in Antioch. So they send Barnabas. And we've seen Barnabas before. We will definitely see him again. But this is a local church, the church in Jerusalem, sending forth a representative. And friends, I want to say something here. And I say this as someone who sits on two mission boards. But long before there were mission boards, mission societies, mission committees, there was the local church sending missionaries and representatives. And God's plan for planet Earth is the local church. And we as believers need to be part of a local church so we can be part of God's plan for planet Earth. That's how he works, through his church. We are his bride. We are his body. And that's how he works. And so we see this being lived out in the book of Acts. And Barnabas witnessed the grace of God. Look at just the first part of verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. Could you imagine that? You know, here's Barnabas. Barnabas, pretty big dude in the early church, you know, pretty important. And the church in Jerusalem sends him, and he goes, and he hears about what's happening, and when he gets there, he's glad. He's filled with joy. Look what God is doing. That's exciting. You know, we should be glad about every work God is doing anywhere. You know? We're not in competition with other Bible-preaching, Bible-believing churches. Okay? And if God is blessing a certain ministry in a certain location, we should be glad about it and praise God. And so Barnabas comes and he witnesses the grace of God, and it brings joy and gladness. And friends, can I say this? When we are filled with the wonder of God, and we are filled with the wonder of being able to minister, and we are able to witness that wonder in ministry, it should bring us joy and gladness. And again, we're not in competition. Maybe you have an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, and you're the one who leads them to the Lord after so-and-so has been working with them for a long time. You know what? Praise the Lord! We're not in competition. You know, we're not seeing who has more notches on your Bible. I hope you don't notch your Bible. You know? I mean, when I was a kid and I used to squirrel hunt in New Jersey, yes, you could hunt in New Jersey. My little 22, I used to put a notch on every time I got a squirrel until I realized, that's pretty silly. I'm ruining my gun. But anyway, so, you know. But don't put a notch in your Bible. God saves everybody, not us. So there's this, there's the witness of the ministry, and then there's the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. Look at the second part of verse 23 through 24. It said, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. So the exhortation, when Barnabas was there, there was exhortation. And I believe this is discipleship. He's exhorting the believers. He's encouraging the believers. He's discipling the believers. He's encouraging them to keep on keeping on. It's difficult. Isn't it difficult to live in 2020 for the Lord? It is. Even here in Hill or wherever you may live, it's difficult. Thank God we're not living, at least right now, in some of the areas of our country where we see some of the riots going on. I will not call them protests, okay? You know, and we see it's got to be difficult to live there. But you know, sometimes because of our faith, it's difficult to even live here. And people don't understand our faith. Again, like Pastor Andrew preached this morning, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, your life doesn't back that up. And when your life backs up your profession, sometimes they're a little hard on you, you know? So keep on keeping on. Keep on living for the Lord. And notice, he exhorted them to have a purpose. And I couldn't help but think of Daniel and his friends, that they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat. And you and I need to have a purpose. And what is the purpose that God has called us to? Why are we part of His church? What is our purpose? Well, our ultimate purpose is to bring glory to God and to obey the Great Commission. Share the gospel. See people saved and then disciple them. Love God. Love people. You know how Pastor Andrew always tells us, I see things visually? Well, when he talked about vertical and horizontal, I've been hanging around him too long, right? I'm going to make something up. I'm not artistic, but I'm going to get faith to do this. The word love, L-O-V-E, with an arrow facing up and an arrow facing this way, the L, right? Love of God, love people. You know, obey God, serve people. That's what our ministry is all about, love. And so we have to have that purpose. And he also encouraged them to cleave unto the Lord. And that word cleave, that's more than just hold on. You know, where else do we read about that word cleave in our Bible? Marriage. A man shall leave his father and mother and what? Cleave. And two become one. And so what was Barnabas encouraging the people to do? Cleave unto the Lord. Now again, it's not hanging on so you don't lose him, okay? But it's abiding in him, cleaving unto him, and staying so close to him. I remember, you know, at times when our second son, Dale, was not quite as... Dale, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. But our son, our second son Dale, was not quite so outgoing as our first son. Jesse, you know, Jesse was there for the party, man. You know, here I am. Where's the cookies? You know, that was Jesse. And he would, you know, but Dale was a little more shy. And I remember sometimes, you know, plays or this or that or the other thing as a little kid, and he's clinging to your leg. Don't make me go up there, Dad. And just not wanting to let go. Isn't that a great illustration? You know, cleaving unto God. I don't want to let go. I just want to be here close to you all the time. That's what Barnabas was encouraging them. Cleaving unto the Lord. You ever go somewhere, talk to somebody, and the time just goes by so quickly, and you just don't want to leave. I know when most people visit me, they can't wait to leave. But, you know, but a lot of time, you know, you just don't want to leave. And you know, when we're with God, it should, and spending time with God alone, it should bother us that we got to leave. Cleave to Him. And what happens? People were saved. Barnabas is coming, even brought more people to the Lord. This church is on fire, friends. And God is working through this church. And is there anything special about the people or the church of Antioch? No. They were just everyday Christians who were sold out for God. And because they were sold out for God, big things happened. And this church now becomes the important church in the rest of the book of Acts. This church, Antioch. Barnabas seeks for Saul. Verse 25. It says that he goes to Tarsus. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now what is significant about this? You know, we saw, turn back to chapter 9. Paul is, Saul, if I call him Paul, you know who I'm talking about. But Paul gets saved, right? Who was Paul before he was the great missionary? He was the great persecutor. And he got saved miraculously and had a hard time. The church had a hard time accepting him. And I could understand that, you know. Is this a ploy? Maybe he's a double agent. You know, maybe he's coming in to talk to us so that, you know, he can find out where we are and have us killed. But Paul comes, and no one trusts him. And look at chapter 9, verse 23. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him, being Paul. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But who's the person mentioned? Barnabas. Aren't you glad for the Barnabases? Barnabas saw something. Now again, friends, I'm thinking this way. Horizontally, not vertically. Did I get that right, Sandy? Horizontally, yes, horizontally, not vertically. Would there have been an Apostle Paul if there was no Barnabas? Okay. This way, probably not. This way, yes, of course. Okay? And Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas puts in a good word for him. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord and disputed against the Grecians. Again, these were Jews who were Greek in culture. But they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest. So, Barnabas knew that Saul was in Tarsus because he was one of the ones that sent him there. Now, we don't have a map, but pretend we have a map. In Syria is Antioch, and just across the Mediterranean is Tarsus. Okay? So while he's there, he seeks for Paul in Tarsus. We won't turn to Acts chapter 21, but when Paul is giving his testimony, he says, "I am a Jew of Tarsus." So this is his hometown. Paul went back to his hometown, and he's there. And Barnabas finds him, verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Could you imagine what that year must have been like in that church? To have the Apostle Paul and Barnabas there teaching. Now this is after, remember, this is after Paul already had been the 3 years with the Lord Jesus in Galatia being taught by the Lord himself. Could you imagine what that must have been like? This church was vibrant. They were preaching and witnessing and teaching and discipling. And the church is growing. And it got so big and such a dynamic happened there that the believers were given a new name. And it was at the church of Antioch that believers were first called what? Christians. What did Pastor Andrew tell us this morning in his message? Christians mean little Christ. These people are just like Jesus. That's a badge of honor. You know? And one of my favorite things in the book of Acts is when the Sanhedrin has John and Peter, earlier on in the book, they're in the council and they're being tried. It said that they had taken notice that they had been with Jesus. And this church knew the Lord so much so that their name is changed. Now, friends, in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 9, and in Acts chapter 10, we see the salvation of all people groups. We see Jews and Grecians and Samaritans and Africans and Gentiles. There's all kinds of people group now in the church. So a new name is needed and all are invited. And that new name is now Christian. And isn't it interesting that the name Christian was given to us by Jewish missionaries? Isn't that interesting? Jewish missionaries. So we can thank the Jewish people for our name, Christians. Little Christ. So a love gift is collected for needy brethren, verse 27 to 29. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, and that word means famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And what happens here? This prophecy comes, and at this time prophecy was still a valid gift because the New Testament had not yet been completed. And he prophesied that a famine was coming. And verse 29 says, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." So everyone, as best as they could, gave. And Barnabas and Saul delivered the gift, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And we're not about to hear the last of these two men. Okay? In the days ahead, God will change the world because of these two men. So, how do we apply this? What do you do when you're persecuted? What do you do when you're persecuted? What did the early church do? Well, they picked up and went somewhere else and did it all over again. They were bold witnesses. Are you a bold witness? You know, Pastor Andrew also mentioned this morning that our country is rapidly changing. And there used to be a time in our country where you didn't have to fear to say, I am a Christian. But that's changing. That's changing. And this Supreme Court judge that is up for consideration, although her faith is not the same as ours, she would call herself a Christian, and they are attacking her because of her faith. Think of how God had blessed the local church. Think about how God has blessed the local church. Long before there were mission agencies and even Bible colleges, there was the local church preaching, witnessing, discipling, sending, and planting churches. I love this local church. This local church is the number one institution in my life that God has ordained as a outside, you know. Of course, I love my wife. Marriage is an institution also. But this is it for me. And you know, a lot of times people miss things because other things go on when church is going on. Friends, church is the reason you need to miss other things. Because this is so important to God. This is God's program for planet Earth. Everything needed to fulfill the Great Commission was given to the local church. Here's one thing we can duplicate today from the book of Acts, and that's bring back the primacy of the local church to train and disciple and witness and evangelize and send pastors and send church workers and send missionaries. The local church. There's nothing more important on it, planet Earth, in God's program than the local church. I hope it's important to you. Father, help us to see the importance of the local church. And Lord, in your sovereignty, this is the church that you have called us to. So help us, Lord, to see its importance and help us to become a dynamic part of the local church. Help us to be bold witnesses. Help us to go out no matter how difficult it is. And help us even this week, Lord, see the urgency of the hour and realize that so many of the people around us are heading into a Christless eternity. And Lord, for your honor, for your glory, and for obedience to the Great Commission,